Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. Here at Driven to Business, we like to talk about things, well, frankly, that drive us to business. And today we're going to talk about growing the business. That's a term that gets everybody, any entrepreneur's juices sort of flowing, growing the business. What I want to talk a little bit about, though, is the idea, do all businesses and organizations need to grow? You know, we've all heard the thing, you're either growing or you're dying. Is that true? Are there times when perhaps a business is not growing? You know, I hear the analogy sometimes of a health. You know, people use the idea of healthy. You know, you take anything healthy, any living thing that's healthy grows. You know, if you've got a grass in your yard and it's very healthy and you're taking care of it and has plenty of water, that grass grows to, if you have a child and that child is healthy, that child certainly does grow. And the analogy is used that if you have a healthy business, it always must grow. But is that true? Is that true? I have a good friend here in town that's been very, very successful in business. As a matter of fact, he founded a company from his home that later became a very large publicly traded corporation. Many, many, many employees, many locations and all that. He was the CEO of it for a while, decided he did not really like being the CEO of a large organization, and he ended up leaving there and forming another organization. And I was talking to him a couple of weeks ago, and he was telling me, this is a high-tech company, he was telling me that they had been offered a job, that a larger multinational company had come to them and offered them a job, an order. He said they'd like to buy, you know, and it was going to be a very, very, very large order, a multi-million dollar order. And he told me he was considering turning it down. And of course, I was like, at first, my response was, are you crazy? Why in the world would you turn that down? But he had an interesting response to that. He said, you know, we have a certain culture at our company that I've worked very, very hard to develop. Our company has a certain feel, a certain community to it. And he said, if we take a large order like this, it will disrupt that entire community. It will change the company. I'm not certain that I want the company changed in that way. Well, it's something to think about, isn't it? And it's sort of one of these games you can play, like, I often tell people to do in business, play the what if we're successful game. Think it through. Think what you really like doing in the position you hold in the business and the way it's done. And now think, you know, double the size or triple the size of that business and think what changes in what you do. Is it something you want? A lot of people will decide, no, that's really not something I want to do. I don't really like dealing with a large number of employees. So, and if we grow to this point, we're going to have a lot of employees. Well, then perhaps you should reconsider the idea that you should grow that. There was a great article in Investing Magazine by a guy named Andy Obermeyer a few years ago, and he talked about that. You know, he starts off saying, you know, what most of us probably default thing that growth equals success, but he says, well, not necessarily. There are a lot of companies that experience tremendous growth only to suffer and even go out of business. You know, I noticed many years ago, I used to pay attention back many years ago to the Inc. 500 and who was on Inc. And I'd hear somebody who was on the Inc. 500. And I would think, oh, that's a great deal. I began to notice, though, how many of those Inc. 500 companies were out of business 2 or 3 years later. And it used to surprise me. It was like, how could you grow like that and go out of business? Well, the fact is, you certainly can do that, because what can happen is you can simply grow beyond your ability to handle the business. When I worked for a company in Texas many, many years ago, it's the fastest growing company I've ever been part of. It was a small company, but it was growing it's difficult to describe how rapidly we were growing. It was back during a high growth time anyway, especially out in Texas. And a lot of things going on. And I've never been anywhere that did this before. They actually put out a rule to all of us, instituted a policy that we could accept no new customers. Now, you think about that for a minute. You have a business and you're told you may accept no new customers. And the reason was, we were so behind there on dealing with the customers we had that we were basically destroying our reputation in the marketplace by not delivering things we had promised. And you can get into that in a business if you grow beyond your ability to handle it. You all of a sudden can begin doing such poor customer service that you can actually, in the end, put your business out of business by growing too rapidly. You know, the business that I've been around many years, you know, the idea of electronic repairs and things of that sort. You know, we used to, many years ago, in a circuit board type situation, we would pick up a new circuit board repair customer, and, you know, and they expect delivery back on those boards, say, in 2 weeks or something like that. But we would get in a lot of them, and it was at one time just me and one other tech there. And so, you know, in the early days of the company. And the fact of the matter is I couldn't get those back out. I just didn't have the hours in a day to do that. And, you know what happens is your great reputation that you have spent a lot of effort building and building up it, that, you know, that you're dependable, you do what you say you got to do, good customer service, great quality and all of that. That begins to suffer a little bit when you simply cannot get it out. So thinking about that growth is a very good idea. The other thing is it could well be, this is something anybody with an entrepreneurial spirit probably has a hard time accepting, but believe me, you need to put this in your soul a little bit and mull it over. Are you capable of leading a larger company than you're leading? John Maxwell has a thing he's talked about many years called the law of the lid. And the law of the lid says that the entrepreneur, the founder, the leader of that organization, whether it's a business or a church or anything else, can be the lid on the growth of that organization. In other words, the organization cannot grow past you. I've had to do some soul searching about in my own life about that with our company. And one of the things I've done is bring in some outside coaches to help me perhaps get better in an area I was not good in. The other thing is be very careful that you're hiring people that are strong where you're weak. A lot of people can't do that, though. And if you can't, if you can't get to the point that you can do that, well, then the business can fail. Another thing that a lot of people, as they begin to grow, just fail to realize, we always say that cash is king in a business. And, you know, that sounds so trite, doesn't it? Cash is king. Well, sure, yeah, you got to have cash. But here's this is a little more scary statement. Out of cash is out of business. That's the way to look at it. You know, the minute you have employees and you're not able to pay them, believe me, when you don't give them a paycheck, and particularly if you've not forewarned them about this, they're gone. Maybe you're really, really, really such a entrepreneurial soul and such a great people motivator. You can talk them into staying there for some other reason. Maybe you can. But look, not very long, you're not going to do that. They've got bills to pay, too. They have house payments. They've got car payments. They have electric bills, all these kinds of things. You can't ask them to stay there for nothing. Even if they do believe in you, you're going to get it turned around. You're going to have to do something about that. And growing too fast can absolutely suck all the cash right out of your company beyond you can do. The other thing that you may have to deal with is some systems planning. You know, the systems you have in place. And I used to laugh when I hear that because, you know, my system was I looked at it all and that was a system. You know, whatever had to be done, I did it. So that was my system. And I used to laugh at people I would attend these seminars where people would talk about time management. You know, you have to allocate time to this and that and the other. And I used to think, you know, you've never in your life run a business. You could never, because many of us had so many balls in the air at one time that there was nobody to give them to. So who am I going to delegate this to? It's just me and one other guy, and he's snowed under too. So what are we going to do? Well, you do need to develop. If you're going to grow, you need to think. If your intention is to grow, you need to think about it in terms of systems. I've often thought that you really need to develop systems, and this is not excusing any bad hires or lazy, or you being lazy or having any of your folks that work with you being lazy. But you really do need to put systems in place, and the systems basically run the company. What I mean by that is this: you know, you shouldn't have to make a decision every single time a repetitive thing happens in the business. How are you going to deal with it? You need to have a system for that. This is how we issue purchase orders. You know, you don't need to come up with a new plan every day how you do that. Come up with how you're going to do that. This is how we do payables. This is how we ensure that bills are paid. This is how that we collect our bills. This is how we investigate to be sure we're getting paid. Believe me, if you're not doing that, if you don't investigate if you don't stay on top of getting paid the receivables side of the business, you're going to be in big trouble. You're going to be financing somebody else's business. Basically, you're loaning money to your customers at that point. And if you think your vendors are going to let you get away with that, you probably better think again. They're not. They're going to ask for money out of you. You're not asking it from your customers. Well, at some point, the cash squeezes down. You need systems in place to take care of things like that. The other thing that you just tend to forget about when you're growing, if you're not very careful, is the idea of profits. Profits can just be forgotten about. You're so busy doing the business. Now it's grown. All of a sudden, you know, you were busy before, and now you don't even have time to breathe. And you're busy, 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 busy. And all of a sudden, you turn around and like, hey, why are we losing money? We're not making money here. What's going on? Well, you just forgot about that part of the business. I used to have a saying back when I was flying small planes that said, you know, fly the plane first. Be flying the plane. You can do all kind of communications, talking to the controllers, navigating, talking to your passengers, doing this, doing that. But first thing is to fly the plane. Well, if you're running a business, the first thing is to run that business. And the fact that you're so caught up in the growth ideas of it can really rein you in. It all does come down to strategically planning ahead what you want to do. You know, it's sort of fun to be part of a growing business. It really is. It's a great thing to do. But think it through. Plan it out. And if you're the kind of person, like my friend, that you decide in your life, this is what's important to us, is that we have this small company culture, that we have that is what we want to have exactly like we've got it. You know, we want to work 4-day work weeks, or you know, as the case may be, or we want to give everybody a lot of vacation, but yet we still want to be profitable. Well, then make that your goal, and don't all of a sudden do something that's going to double the size of your company, where that becomes impossible when you begin doing those things. The other thing is, I've already mentioned, in our case, was that customer service can begin to slip on you. And you know, here's the problem. You build up a good customer service. You run out and maybe you're a great sales guy. You go out there and you make the sales and you're bringing in customers and you've promised them that you're going to do a good job. But all of a sudden, you're very busy and you can't do a good job because you're too busy to do it. And we've all run into companies like that. Companies that at one time we thought were really good companies, and then they got bigger and all of a sudden they're sort of terrible companies. Well, they didn't. I promise you, nobody got up and said, I want to have a terrible company. That didn't happen. They just grew beyond their ability to manage it. You've got to stay on top of that. You're listening to Driven to Business, by the way, streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com and on iTunes. Stick around. More to come. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. I sort of say glad we're here. I'm glad we're here too, but also glad you're here. We're talking about business growth. And the first segment talked about the idea of, do all businesses need to grow? And the answer is no, they don't. It's something you need to make plans about and to think about. You know, another thing I've had to deal with myself sometimes is what got you to the level you are in business now is not necessarily what will get you to the next level in business. And that could be, I have to focus in and say, you know, I'm great at running a company of this size. I really cannot run a company very well at twice this size. Sometimes it takes a lot of humility on our parts to recognize that. And it's one of the things where you do need to visualize, play the game, but the what if we're successful game, and think it through. Back in 1983, which I know is a long time ago now, the Harvard Business Review did an article called The 5 Stages of Growth. And although this has been quite a while since they wrote this, I still find them very valid, at least in my own experience and in the experiences of most other business people with whom I'm acquainted. And they list 5 stages of a company's growth. And here's what they are. They call the first one existence, which I think is probably self-explanatory. They call the next one survival. None of this sounds too good, does it? And the next one they call success. Then they have what they call the takeoff. And they mean takeoff to great growth stages. And then a resource maturity type stage. I want to talk about those just briefly in this and perhaps for a bit into the next segment. The first one, existence. I kind of like that term I always have. You know, the idea in an existence, the main problem in a business in an existence stage is to get customers and deliver the product or the service that you sold them. And the questions you sort of have to ask yourself, can we get enough customers and deliver the products and provide the services well enough to become a viable business? Because right now we're just existing. a lot of people blow it right here. And one of the ways that I see people sometimes blow this is starting a business based on your passion. Now, I think a business that you're passionate about is a great idea. That it's great that you're passionate about a business. I do think sometimes you need to go back at your passions and say, are my passions really, is that enough other people's passion that it can be a business? You know, I use examples sometimes of myself. You know, I love chocolate donuts. Yeah, I really do. I really love chocolate donuts. I love them too much. And so I guess if I followed my passions, I would open up a chocolate donut store. And let's say I open it right up here down here in Buckhead, chocolate donut store, you know, Eddie's Chocolate Donuts. Well, there's a bit of a problem if you just start thinking it through a little bit. You say, okay, Eddie, you're very passionate about chocolate donuts. I don't know how to make them really, but I'm very passionate about them. How many other people out there are really, really passionate about chocolate donuts? That, and you know, the rent right here in Buckhead is going to be pretty high to put up open a store right here in Buckhead. So how many donuts of any kind do you have to sell to pay the rent here in Buckhead? I suspect quite a few donuts you've got to sell to do that. And am I going to work in this all the time? I like eating chocolate donuts. I don't know that I really like selling them. So am I? Who's going to do this? Well, how many donuts a day do I have to sell to bring in an employee to sell my chocolate donuts? And besides that, from the people riding up and down the street out there, how many people really are just interested in buying a chocolate donut? Well, when I really look at that logically, I can figure out that may be a passion of mine. That's probably not a good business idea. And a lot of people, though, don't ever make that step. The idea that although it may sound really good to you, it is not a good deal. Another question comes up in the existence stage. You know, you're just here. Is do we have enough money to cover the cash demands of this startup phase? You know, when you first start a business, for most of us that start business at least, you know, you don't have, it's not like they're just instant that day customers that are coming in handing you money. Rarely is that the case. So how long can you go? What's the sales time? Let's say that you are a company, you sell computers. Okay, how long before you get paid for that computer, and how long before you sell enough computers to pay your salary you were making before you left before? Those are things you got to think about. Do you have enough cash to survive the startup? Because right now you're in the existence stage. Yes, you've hung out a shingle. Yes, you're a business. You're not necessarily profitable, and you're not necessarily going to last. So those are things you need to begin to think about. You know what your company strategy becomes, and I've been here at this point. Your company strategy is to stay alive. That's your company strategy. If somebody were to ask you your business plan and you really were honest about it, you say, my business plan is not to go out of business or starve. That's my business plan. Well, you know, that may be actually a very needs-driven business plan, but you probably need to think about it. You know, can you expand that business? Let's say you had one customer when you started. Can you expand that business from that one customer or process that you had going on to a broader sales base? You know, a lot of companies simply never gain sufficient customer recognition to climb out of the existence stage. And some of these you look at sometimes, and they are pretty good ideas. I mean, I look at them, and they're pretty good ideas. The guys that started these businesses were fairly smart. And so you look at them and you think, you know, if anybody can make it, they would. But it's a touchy phase of business. It doesn't take very much because your survival time, frankly, for most of us, is quite short in this. You don't have the money to do this very long term if you don't make it. And that's a problem people run into. And a lot of businesses do go out of business in this. And my experience in this is not just that they go bankrupt or something. That does happen sometimes. A lot of it is that the founder, after a period of time of this existence situation that's very stressful and very demanding of your time and all of your energy and your resources, a lot of the founders simply say, okay, that's it, and they just close the business and go do something else. It's not that they went bankrupt. It's not they began starving or anything. It's just they decided they didn't have it. But let's say you do hang in there and you do get by the existence stage, and you do expand your business, and you do have cash, and you've got a good business plan. You've got this thing cooking here now. Or the next step, is it too much better? Harvard calls that their survival step. Okay, you're not just existing anymore. You actually are surviving. You've had the cash to do it, and you've kind of demonstrated that you've got a workable business entity here. Unlike my donut idea, you've really got a workable business, and you do have enough customers, and you've got a good enough customer service that you, they keep coming back to you. And so the problem here shifts from just existing to really paying attention to the relationship between revenues and expenses. And what that basically means, are you spending? You cannot be spending more money than you're taking in. You got to be sure your revenue stream is sufficient to cover the costs of the business. A lot of people, it amazes me sometimes how some people fall in, off the train on that. Can you generate enough capital to break even? Well, believe me, breaking even is not good enough. Here's the situation about profits. You must be profitable. Just breaking even, you will go out of business, because here's what's going to happen. You're going to come in one day and your computer's going to be broken. Your car's going to break. The roof's going to leak. All sorts of things are going to happen. I mean, things are going to happen. You've got to have more money than breaking even. It's not going to, because you're going to run into to those types of scenarios. The organization can be very simple. And you can have a limited number of employees. Back years ago, when I was working with another company, we used to sort of get the idea, we were opening branches around the country, and we would like say, okay, we were opening branches with technicians in them, and we were trying to say, what are sort of the break points on that? And we came up with a little deal that it was quite, you could run a place with two technicians quite profitably with just two technicians there. When you went to three, we just noticed it began to be a bit of a problem, and particularly if you went to four, because now you sort of need a manager here. Before, you just had sort of two working guys, and maybe one guy's like the lead worker and one guy's not. But when you get to three or four, all of a sudden somebody really has to have the title of supervisor. So his productivity goes down. So basically their other two productivities have to go up. So we used to find three was a very, very uncomfortable place to be. You need to grow to three, to four, or five in order to make any money. And that's what I'm talking about during the survival stage. You have to begin to figure things like that out. About where's the business balance out? Where does it balance out? What kind of revenues do I have to have? You know, do I need? Are we comfortable having four employees to do this business? Can we do it, or do I need to jack it up and get more employees? And if so, then that means revenues have to go up. And those are the kinds of things that you just have to face at the survival stage. More of this to come in a moment. You're listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Back in a minute. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Glad you're here. We're talking about growing the business, whether you should grow or not, or if you do, some stages of growth. I'm talking right now about sort of reviewing a Harvard Business Review article, actually written a good while back in May of 1983, about those five stages of growth. And those stages are existence, survival, success, takeoff, meaning takeoff and grow, and resource maturity. We're talking at the break, beginning of the break, I was talking about the survival stage, which is a step up from the existence stage. And the idea that okay, you now have a business. The business is, you know, you're making a little bit of money. Things are going well, but you're really having to begin to watch your money, because you do, in fact, have customers. You really have, you know, anybody looking at you would say, yeah, he's got a business going there. You got a customer cooking. But are you doing more than just surviving? How are you going to get to the next stage, which is a success stage? You've got a very simple organization, probably. Maybe you've got a limited number of employees. But really, at this point in most businesses, none of them really make major decisions. In most cases, in a small business, the owner or the founder is making almost all the decisions there. And this is can be a good thing and can be a real point of problem. If you plan to grow out of this stage, you're going to have to get down to learn how to delegate. And delegation is not micromanaging things, and neither is delegation complete abdication of responsibilities. You've got to watch things, but you've got to develop, and you've got to begin to let people develop there as well. I quote Zig Ziglar very often on here, who says, you know, you don't build a company, you build people, and they build a company. And that's always true. You've got to begin to develop systems and have systems run your company. I talked about this a little bit in the last segment, but you know, you can't be coming up with something, some new way you do everything every time something comes in. One reason is you probably have some employees now, and they're not going to know. You know, if you're changing, if this just you're just running it off the cuff and making making policy up as you go here, your employees are going to have no clue what the policies of the company are. So you're going to have to come up with some systems and let the systems run the company. Say, okay, this is how we do accounts receivable. You know, we at 31 days, we call them, you know, if somebody hadn't paid a bill, or we cut them off, or whatever your system is, you know, this is the way we do it. This is how we issue checks. This is how we issue purchase orders. This is how we approve purchases. This is the systems. This is how we do it. This is how we do customer service, you know, these are our customer service standards. This is how we do the business. When a customer calls up and says this is how we handle that. Doesn't mean you come up with everything. People still have to think. But you put systems in place so that you're not basically reinventing your company every day, and people aren't having to come ask you a question on every little thing. That's one way that you begin to do that. You know, in a survival stage, a company can grow to a pretty good size and grow in profitability. Or, as some companies do, it may remain in the survival stage for a long time, earning some marginal gains and doing that. Sort of mom and pop stop type stores you see in this regard. You know, these are guys that operate on very low margins of profit. Usually the mom and the pop, maybe a kid or two, that's the only employees there. They've been the same way. They haven't grown in, you know, 25 years. I know places, particularly in Birmingham, I know a guy that ran a hot dog stand, put three kids through law school. I mean, it can be done. It requires very hard work, though, and this is not where most people want to do. But again, you have to decide what you want to do. And businesses like this, normally when the owner retires or decides to quit, it goes out of business. That's usually what happens, because it's absolutely solely dependent on one or two people, and those two, one or two people leave, it's out of here. Then we get to what Harvard calls stage three success. And the decision that faces you in the success stage is whether to exploit your accomplishments and the profits you've made and keep the company very stable and profitable. That is where my friend that I talked to you about earlier had done. He built a successful company. It's very stable and profitable, and he wants it right where it is. Well, there's nothing wrong with that decision. It's a decision you must make if you want to do that. And perhaps even a lifestyle business that can provide for you, you know, some lifestyle type activities, things you want to do that are not there. So one of the key issues is, do you want to allow yourself to sort of disengage in a way from the business and keep it the way it is? As people get older, sometimes they want to do that. Or do you want to absolutely take the earnings you've made and the skills you've gained and the company you built and essentially throw it all out there at risk and build other enterprises? I look at guys like Ted Turner, for instance, here in Georgia, who inherited a outdoor sign advertising business from his dad and a small TV station, and took and built those into a major empire. But, you know, those things had existed a long time as a fairly profitable, stable, and successful little business. Now, a guy with Ted's entrepreneurial spirit and all, he took and put that all at risk, he really did, to grow it very large and to get going. So those are decisions you have to make as to how you're going to do that. You can actually stay there. But you can stay at that decision a long, long, long time. One of the things, if you're going to do that, if you're going to use your existing business's revenues to grow, to make big grow, you had better be sure that the existing business stays good. I remember reading about Howard Hughes many years ago. You know, his dad founded Hughes Tool Company, and Howard went on to found a bunch of other companies and, you know, particularly involved in media and this kind of thing, and did a great job. But one thing he always did was keep that Hughes Tool Company. He had it under, he really had no direct managerial, by design, he stayed out of it. But he had people there that ran that thing very well. And he insisted they keep that thing running and profitable. And that funded the other things that he did. And that's what you typically find at the success stage, is to how people begin to do it and get all that going. Again, the idea, keep that thing at that stage. The other stage that they talk in there is a stage called stage four, which is called takeoff. So we've had the existence, survival, success, and now takeoff. This is where it really begins to go. And at this stage, the problem for the founders or the managers of the company is to how to grow rapidly and how to finance that growth. And it's a pivotal period of time in the company's life, because this is where the some of these Inc. 500 companies that you do see, I mentioned earlier, go out of business. You absolutely can outrun yourself here Let's say, in particular, we saw a lot of this back during the dot-com days when some of these dot-coms that would be run by these young entrepreneurs had great ideas, but really no business experience to speak of. And what they would do is their great idea really, really, really took off quickly. And all of a sudden, their businesses grew to these large sizes. The fact of the matter is, though, they didn't know how to run a big company like that. They really had very limited business experience. And what sort of separated the ones that made it from the ones that didn't was, did they bring in professional people to help them run that company? The ones that did that tended to make it. The ones that did not tended not to make it at that point. Now, you can build a business of that size, and if your goal is you can build it to that size and sell it, usually at a nice profit. A lot of people do that. But the biggest problem that I've seen in that is that people at the takeoff stage, when things are really about to take off on you, when you've got all your ducks in a row, you've got a great reputation, you got a great product or service you're offering, you're well-known in the industry, well-respected, and you're really set for growth. And people are now, a lot of big players are now perfectly willing to talk to you about using you. And all of a sudden, you know, there's this ego thing and this gratification. All of a sudden they come to you and all of a sudden you get these big jobs rolling in on you. And that's wonderful. But the problem is, if you haven't really thought that through, you can absolutely expand yourself out of business. And basically, it's back to this thing again, out of cash is out of business. The main thing that happens to companies like that is they run out of cash. They absolutely run out of cash. And of course, it's possible that you traverse this high growth or takeoff stage with the existing company management. But it is not all that common that that's what happens. And, you know, even... you could name a number of examples of entrepreneurs that have started companies that ended up being thrown out of the companies. And sometimes you think about that and you think, well, that was terrible. They put them out of the company. But, you know, if you go back and read the behind-the-scenes story there, they weren't just put out of the company because people didn't like them. A lot of times they were really very highly respected in the company, liked them. It just became apparent they did not have the abilities to run a extremely large company. They were entrepreneurs. They were used to dealing, you know, running in and shaking up everything instantly and getting it going. And that was and there's nothing wrong with that because it's sort of my mindset. But the idea is that is sometimes not the way to run a large and growing company. You need perhaps more professional management in that deal. In particular, if you've gone outside and gotten outside creditors at this point, and this is where this happens, to come in and finance your company, they may demand that you step aside. Again, you read the stories of this religion of where, you know, a bunch of venture capitalists came in to fund some guy's great idea, which was a great idea, and he was a great entrepreneur, and he got it going and did a great job. But as they began to grow, it began to kind of flounder and just have all sorts of problems, and they stepped in and said, you know, you don't have the skills to do this. And very often, much to the chagrin and the disappointment and even the disillusionment, perhaps, of the guy running that business, they pushed him out. That's actually what happened to Thomas Edison years ago, one of the greatest inventors of all time. When the General Electric Company was formed, the people that had invested in that decided he was an inventor, not necessarily a businessman, and so they sort of pushed him to the side. Did it hurt him? No, not really. He made tons of money out of it, and usually guys that do this end up making tons of money. So there is a bit of a golden parachute there, but nonetheless, you do get pushed out of that. The next stage up there is what they call they call it the resource maturity. This is where you're in. You really are now a big and well-established company. And the problem in a company like this, and we've all seen this too, it becomes, whereas before, perhaps there were the owner or the founder had his entrepreneurial spirit perhaps got in the way of really managing the company. What's happened now, though, by the time you come to this resource maturity stage, what is what the guys at the Harvard Business Review noted was that there is sometimes a bit of lacking of entrepreneurial spirit. And large companies, we see this all the time, these large, successful companies, and you look at them now and you think, how did they get to be successful with their level of customer service? Because they're terrible at it. Well, the fact is they had that along the way and they lost it somewhere. And that's the danger of coming into this final stage here, is that you've got to sort of go back and re-grab some of that little entrepreneurism and begin to pay attention to your customers and see what things are happening. One more section to go here, a segment, I should say, on Driven to Business. My name's Eddie Mayfield. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business, the final segment of the day's program. We're talking about growth. And one of the things we started off with is growth always good. And the fact is, no, it isn't always something you should do. We'll rehash the entire program, but there are times when perhaps growing is not the right thing for you to do. And if you are going to grow, there's some stages. We talked about the Harvard Business Review article, which gave five stages of company growth, which are existence, survival, success, takeoff, and then finally resource maturity. But, you know, companies do fail. We talked particularly back in the, when you just started off, like in the existence stage, you know, when you're getting started, you can fail. But you can fail at any place in that growth. I've already mentioned a couple of times, Inc. 500 companies. This used to just amaze me because I sort of respected companies that were high up in that list. And then you would find out 2 years later they were out of business. And I always used to just wonder why in the world they were. And I've actually made a bit of a study of that and why do they fail. Businesses fail for a variety of reasons. You can't really lay down why. And by the way, you do hear a lot of stats up, you know, 80% of all small businesses fail. I'll be honest with you, if you try to research those figures, you're going to find that's a little fuzzy. I'm not so sure. And then what constitutes failure? Is it failure when they go out of business, or is it failure when the owner decides he doesn't like doing that and shuts it down? I mean, I don't know which, and that happens a lot too. I know many instances where that's happened. So those are all things to sort of consider. By the way, today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. If you've missed today's program, just go to eddiemayfield.com, and there'll be a podcast on there. Also, eventually it'll pop up on iTunes there as well. Companies do fail for many reasons. Some of them are the fact that they ignore the fact that their business models have become irrelevant. Companies like, I'm not picking on them, but companies like Kodak, for instance, and or maybe a better one to think about, Blockbuster Video. They failed to realize that people were going to stop using videotapes in machines. And, you know, anybody that thinks, oh, well, I'm not worried about that now because everybody's using DVDs now. No, they're not. No, they're not. DVDs may be irrelevant here in a few years as well, and by streaming things. And don't think that's the end of it either. We don't know where, you never know where it's going, which is why as a business person, and you're in a niche business that depends on a certain amount, a particular technology business, you had better pay attention to that field and what's going on there. And not just what you like in the field, but what do others like when it's going there. Let me give you a few little hints about just business. This is not meant to be an all-inclusive list by any means. And I've already talked about a little bit of this. I've heard this said many times. Profit is a theory. Cash is a fact. You know, a profitable business can go bankrupt. And now that doesn't ring right to a lot of people. But, you know, if I sell you $1,000 worth of widgets that I paid $100 for, well, in theory, I've made $900. But until you pay me, I haven't made a nickel. And so that's the point there. Profits are theory. You do need profits. You need to absolutely plan on profits. But cash is a fact. You know, businesses fail is very simple when they can't pay their employees and pay their bills. That's when you go to business. The day you can't pay your rent is the day they're going to shut you down. The day when if you can't pay your electric bill, you're not going to have any electricity. If you can't pay your employees, for the most part, they're going to walk off and leave you. If you don't pay the phone bill, the phone's going to get turned off. If you can't pay your cell phone bill, they're going to turn it off. I mean, those things happen. Don't pay your internet, whoever's hosting your internet, don't pay them, and all of a sudden, you're not going to have a web page anymore. I mean, that's the real life situation of cash. Now, how do you get into that situation? One of the ways you get into it is you are financing your clients. And what I mean by that is that if you have an inability to collect and you let, and this is why small businesses do get a disadvantage sometimes. Large companies who can sort of push their weight around because they know they have a lot of business to offer you, they can come back and they will sometimes attempt to dictate terms, say, oh, we only pay in 120 days. You know, you can't take that. If your business cannot survive a 120-day payment cycle, you need to tell them that you can't do business with them in 120 days, and that's that. Some of them will walk off and leave you. I mean, you may have to let that business go, though. Those are decisions you have to make, strategic decisions you have to make. I can't do business with somebody that only pays, that can't pay me in 30 days. Because here's the deal. You know, in our business, we buy fairly large capital equipment from people. Well, they want that capital equipment paid from us in 30 days. They want, they are pretty insistent about it. That you pay that bill in 30 days. And if I don't do that, and let's say I've got three orders with them and I don't pay for the first order, they're not going to ship me the other two orders. And I've already sold them and on paper a lot of profit, but I'm not getting paid. Well, then what am I going to pay them with? Those are the kind of things that will run you out of business. You've got to watch that. The second thing is to have a banking relationship with a banker, of course. It's another great idea. Control your cash. Know what's leaving your company. Cash will leak out of a business. And you know, you can be overly silly, but I worked for a guy one time, and we were doing a lot of business, and I had a bunch of employees working for me. And he came in all upset one time and mad because apparently some freight bills were not getting invoiced. And he insisted that I go back through a year's worth of invoices to be sure that these $4 and $5 freight bills were getting added. I finally, after about a day of that, went back to him and said, hey, do you really, really want me spending my time doing this when we're collecting, you know, when we're dealing with much, much larger business issues? And he said, no, I really don't. But he said, I want the system stopped where we're not. And so what we did was put a better system in place. But again, there are cash bleeds. There are profit bleeds. Cash bleeds out of a business. And if you're the owner of a business and you've got several employees and you don't think cash is leaving your business, you better rethink it. It is. Now, some of it, again, it comes down to how much, what's it worth your time? If an extra $5 is getting spent here or $5 here, okay, maybe that's not a big deal. But you can have tens of thousands of dollars leaving your business. Let's say you've got somebody not paying bills on time and you notice that every month you're having to pay late fees. Believe me, those things add up because they're just not following a good system to get paid. That's the kind of things you need to step into and be sure that you're maximizing that cash in your business. In other words, be as efficient as you can so that you do keep your cash up there. And generally, just be in control of your business. And the other thing that I think can really happen to somebody, particularly as they begin to grow, and you get all excited about growth and future business and things of this sort, you sort of begin to forget about the guys that brought you there. Maybe you've had a really, really, really great employee for all these years who's really helped you during the tough times, and now he's kind of feeling in the background because all these other things are going on. And it could well be his skill set is not such that he's kind of in the job he's in. You need to make a point of going back there just as a founder and making sure that you sort of impart value to him and be valuable to that person. And the other thing is things like customer service. Things like that can begin to slide. You can have it's just like taking a customer for granted, something you should never do. Don't ever take a customer for granted. None of us like being taken for granted by a business. You know, you can do business with a place for a long time. But the minute they all of a sudden start giving you cold food, or they wait on other people before they wait on you just because they know you, or, you know, they're not, they're, somehow or another, you're, they just figure you're going to be there no matter what, and they don't pay any attention to you. You know what that makes you feel because you've been in those situations. Don't do your customers that way. As you begin growing and picking up new customers, some of them may be very, very valuable customers, but some of the most valuable customers you probably have are those long-term customers you've been doing business with a long time. That's sort of your base business. Don't forget those guys. Go back and deal with them in those regards. So just as a quick review today, we've talked about growing. We've talked about do all businesses need to grow? We've said, no, we don't. I was talking to my friend who has a very nice little stable company. Is in the success stage if you're pairing it up with the Harvard Business Review terminology, but yet decided not to take a much larger order that he had because he did not want to change the culture of his business. Those are the kind of things you do need to think about, and we'll continue to talk about here on Driven to Business. We're here every Saturday morning at 11. Tell your friends. Remember, we always stream live on biz1190.com. We'll be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. I am Eddie Mayfield. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.